Brought to you by Make Fun Network.
Welcome to the top 5 of death, where listeners vote and everyone dies. Listen and die.
Ladies and gentlemen, we did it. We took the country back. It's a great day to be an American. And I have a little bit of optimism today. And I just want to say ha-ha to all the haters. And get wrecked to everyone else. And yeah, it's... I had I've had a great week. Everything's been kicking ass. I'm here with only Will.
Hey man, and for those of you listening, if you want to skip Matt's victory lap, just fast forward 35 minutes.
35? No, you know, listen. Here's the thing. You seen the Discord?
Look, the numbers don't lie. There is not. What we all expected. There's not going to be a big runoff. It was clear and decisive. Democracy is still alive.
There you go.
Although now that Trump's elected, I guess it's dead, based on what I've been told.
That's what I've been told. I said this would be the last one. And, you know, I am so pumped. I can't tell. And I'm very pumped. I'm also very not pumped that the other two aren't here to enjoy this moment. I will definitely relive this moment next week when they're back, because I got to get their thoughts on it. And if they don't want to give them, then that's too bad. They're going to give them. Man, what an absolute repudiation of all the bullshit. My favorite thing about this is the fucking corporate media is absolutely fucking dead. And I've just been loving all the people who thought that they were on the right side of history, which they're not, which they're clearly not. And they can't understand it. They truly don't understand what happened because they live in a bubble. They live in an absolute bubble.
Words out of my mouth.
Yeah. It's like, here's the thing. Only good, listen, after people settle down and they stop, if anybody is like, has like a remote rational mind who is like upset about the results of this and they do some true like inner reflection as to like why they were so caught off guard by this and they look into it and they go, oh, those were all bullshit lies. I was lied to. Oh my God, I can't believe I fell for it. And that's what's going to happen. The thing is there's a difference between having like a political difference of opinion and believing fucking horseshit. That's fine. Like if your shit is based on fact, but you have a different opinion than me, then like more power to you. I can't say this enough. More power to you. But if you're going to come to me and be like, I'm not voting for Trump because he said that there were very fine people during the Charlottesville hoax. I mean, well, hoax is like ingrained in my head, but like during the Charlottesville event, I'm going to go, you live in a fake world, an absolute fake world. Oh, fucking literally the day before or 2 days before the election, Obama's parroting the hoax again. He's speaking to thousands of people and he's claiming that Trump said that when you can literally just go fucking watch him not say that. And it's like, they're liars. They are lying to you. And the reason why it's such an absolute death knell to the corporate media is because people only believe that because they were being spoon-fed 10 and 15 second out of context clips. And now everyone's going to go, what did I miss? I'm going to go back and watch that. They watch it to go, he clearly didn't say that. And I can't believe I believe that he said it for fucking, 5 years. But then there's people who will never never do the inner reflection. They're going to double down, and they're going to think they live in a fucking racist, tyrannical, authoritarian government. And they're going to be fucking miserable, and they deserve their misery because they are creating it themselves. And I, man, fuck yeah, this is great. This is very, very great. Also, he's, you know, Trump's all the things he's putting out. He's been putting out these like little videos of what his plans are, and they fucking rule. They absolutely fucking rule. You were never going to get any of this shit ever. To what I was saying before, and people are like, I want a difference from the fucking two-party system. I don't want no more two-party bullshit. It's here. It's here. The shit he's saying he wants to do and plans on doing, which he should be able to do once they finally call the House. He'll have the House, the Senate. There should be nothing to stop him except the fact that Mitch McConnell has been like trying to undermine it on his way out by calling a secret Senate leadership vote. And two of the three candidates are vast anti-Trumpers. And that would be a fucking... that right there is a prime example of the uniparty against the Trump campaign. That's it. It's that simple. Like I've said, it's not, you're not voting for a Republican with Trump. You're voting for fucking a populist who is at least willing to go against everything that everyone complains about. And man, watch his videos. They're fucking, if he gets done half of what he wants to do, what an absolute fucking benefit to this country. Will, your thoughts, my friend, your thoughts. I want to know what you think. I want to know your thoughts. Take me through your, because there's only two of us, take me through your week from when you found out, how you found out, your thoughts, your initial thoughts, reactions you're seeing, people around you. Let me know.
All right. Let me, I'll quickly circle back to the political thing. I'm going to work backwards on my week because I just wanted to mention one story of idiocracy on my own part Friday.
Okay.
I was going through the car wash.
As one does.
It's one of the ones where the guys, you know, they do a little scrub before you get into the tunnel.
Good one.
And yeah, I like to kick those guys a couple of shekels, you know. Yeah. A little. How do you do? They're gonna scrub your tires a little better. They're gonna, you know, whatever it is.
Oh no.
I pulled in. The kid starts spraying right away. Didn't give me the chance to tip him. He just starts spraying, and he sprays my window and sprays the front end over there, and then he stops. And I think, oh, here's my chance. I start rolling the window down, right in the face with a pressure washer. And he just was shocked. He's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, it's fine. That's my fault. Here's $2.
It's $2. Dude, just let it go. Let it go.
I should have just saved my $2 instead. That's so funny. I got blasted in the face.
That's Trump's like America right there. That's Trump's America.
Oh, such a fucking dork. But as far as the election and all that.
Can I pause you there? I have a car question. Yeah.
Sure.
In hindsight, I wish I didn't do this, but you go through like the car wash with like the spinning things and like the fabrics and things like that, right?
So in this case, yes, because my car is getting older and I don't care as much, but this is the first time I've gone through the contact car wash with my car.
That is the lesson I have learned.
It's sandpaper.
Yeah. So
you don't want to do that. I use the touchless ones if you care about your car's paint job. But at this point, my car is almost 10 years old. So I'm just like, whatever. It needed a scrubbing.
I didn't know that because I'm not a car guy per se. And, you know, my fucking very, decently expensive of like luxury SUV, it's got all the lines. If you look at it close, it's just like, I got to get like a color correction.
Thousands. That's expensive.
I know. And the thing too, I was like, I don't mind paying for it because I'm going to like keep this car forever. But like it being the main car of like a family, I'm like already up to like 50,000 miles on it. So now I'm like, how much like, I'm not going to, you know, if I was going to keep the car for like another 10 years, I might pay to get a color correction, like detail job on it. But at the rate it's going, I mean, I'll probably have it for like four, you know, when like... But I don't know. Anyway, I didn't know that, and I felt like a fool afterwards because it made perfect sense.
I will admit, I've been shopping Kias, actually.
My man.
My car, like I said, is getting a little up there in age, and it's fully loaded Lincoln, and just little things start going wrong, and it's going to break down, and I don't want a car that's going to break down. So I'm thinking about switching over, but I want to keep that fast luxury sedan style. And the Kia Stinger GT1
that's a good looking one.
Is very comparable to what
my current car is a nice, like 360 horsepower all-wheel drive.
Nice.
Unfortunately,
yeah,
they didn't make a lot of these Kia Stingers, so I got to search far and wide.
No, but I mean, Kia for the moment, I think it's probably one of your best value for dollar cars you can buy before it becomes like, I mean, they're popular now, but the more in demand they get, like the more their prices rise.
You spent over like $60,000 on yours, right?
I spent over $60,000 on mine, but I got the absolute top tier fucking everything across the board. And just for comparison, I think mine was like 67 ish. Maybe 68.
That's crazy.
The baseline Ford Explorer was like starting at $50,000.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
And that's one of the other cars that I really have been wanting is the Explorer ST, but I
those
don't
want to
spend $50,000 on a fucking car. It's such
on a baseline car too. You're just going to get like a fucking tape deck.
No, the ST, the nice, the fast one.
Well, then you're probably looking over $70,000.
New. Yeah. I'm not buying a new car. I'm not fucking money bags. it's depreciating asset. You don't want to put a lot of money into cars unless you're collecting them.
Yeah, I know. It might even come up today.
Anyway, so the election and the results there, that was interesting to watch that roll in. I was very upset because I think we mentioned it last week or recently anyway, that they're doing the election betting now on Polymarket, and Robinhood was doing it too. I desperately wanted to get in on that action. I will admit I did not vote for Trump.
Who'd you vote for?
I voted for the Libertarian Party because I'm in Massachusetts, and that's the most I could do with my vote.
No, that is true. I typically do that, but I voted for Trump this way because I wanted to get him the popular vote was my goal.
Massachusetts, I think, had the second biggest gain of Trump supporters in this election, which is pretty
wild. California the other one?
I don't know. I don't think it was California, but
you know what's funny is somebody posted, they were like on my Lynn page or whatever, they were like, here's a list of all the towns that voted Trump. And I looked at it, I was like, these are the nice towns. These are the better towns you want to live in.
This is where my friends live.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, this is where you want to be. Like, you know, where you want to go? Lawrence? Fucking shithole, fucking Murderville? And it's like, the list was awesome. I was like, is anyone going to point this out, that these are the nicer towns of fucking Massachusetts?
Well, Lawrence, heavily Dominican, and Trump was able to sway the Latino men, which really made this a landslide. And then I posted a meme about it in the Discord about how like the Democratic Party was like, are we off base here? No. It must be the Latino men that are white supremacists.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, man. That's the repudiation. Everyone is sick of basically the Democrats are fucking awful. I remember when we were kids and it was a complete inverse. Whereas like Republicans were just Bible thumping war hawks.
Yep.
And now the liberal Dems are fucking the freaking, you know, gender ideology war hawks. And you're like, that's fucking awful. It's incredible what has happened here.
And I kind of strayed from what I was getting to, but the betting on the election, I was desperately trying to get in on that, but fucking Polymarket wouldn't let me in there unless I set up a VPN to say I was out of the country. And then Robinhood was like, wouldn't send me my password recovery. I was trying to put $500 on Trump and I would have won like $350. I'm so mad that I missed out on that free money.
Oh man. You know, people who bet big on Trump when DeSantis was like the guy, I bet are cleaning the fuck up.
I thought never in a million years after he left office that Trump would get reelected.
So resoundingly.
I thought DeSantis was, you know, the heir apparent, but he just fucking couldn't fill the shoes, even though he tried.
Bazinga.
Filled his shoes with something, which eventually ruined his image.
Yeah, DeSantis, he's a good governor. He's a good politician. He's even a good debater. But he's not a good salesman. He's got like,
no,
he's just, he can't do it. Just, you know, that's, you know, what the president is doing basically. But,
I don't know, we'll see. Like you, like everyone, I was watching the results rolling in that night. Actually, there was a bunch of people in the Discord in the live chat hanging out, while the results rolled in, which was pretty cool. I stopped in there for a bit.
Yeah, somebody pinged me. They were like, get in here. And I was like, with my kids, I was like, I didn't even respond. I was like, I can't.
You don't want to get fired up, start fucking ranting and raving, keeping the kids awake.
Yeah.
But it was so easy to tell. I didn't stay up too late. I think I went to bed at 11, and it was very clear to me that the election was over, based on the numbers rolling in from the news sites, and then the betting odds. The betting odds were the lead indicator of what was going on. And I went to bed and it was like 98% Trump betting odds. And I'm just like, wow, I can't believe it. But for the Democratic Party, you keep putting fucking nothing out there.
Really?
How are people going to support that?
They have no stars. They have none. They had Obama and then that was it. Dave Smith, who I fucking love. If you're not listening to Dave Smith, if you're into politics, you're fucking incorrect.
It's fantastic.
They had him on. He was on Rogan the day after election. Go listen to that episode. If you're wondering what happened, go listen to that episode and you'll get clarity like you wouldn't believe.
I'm waiting for him to get popular enough for people to start hating him because he's such like an unbiased just reporter of what's going on. He's very good at what he does. And by that, I mean, don't mean stand-up comedy, but
I know
he's good. He's good on Legion of Skanks and he's good on all the political pundit stuff.
Yeah.
He's great on that. I think that's the problem's a great show.
It is. It's an awesome show. Go listen to him on Rogan. It's incredible. Yep. What was I talking about? Oh, actually one thing from that Rogan episode, because he was talking about like Trump and the administration and what he hopes to do and what he, you know, hopes Trump avoids doing. And Rogan was like, it's like, I'm going to set up a podcast with you, me and Trump. I was like, holy fuck. I would fucking,
I heard that.
I would lose my shit mind if Dave Smith got the ear of Donald Trump. Oh, I know what I was talking about. They have no star. The Democrats have no stars. They have Hakeem Jeffries who just calls everyone racist. You're not going to win. That shit is done. It's over.
Yeah, that game plan's not working anymore. It worked for a while.
It did. It really, really did. But it's like you can only cry wolf and lie for so long. And that we finally hit, you know, basically we just endured it and it's over. All what needed to happen was just all of the minority votes when they just go. For so long, they go, yo, my life still fucking sucks. Everything you said hasn't happened. And like this guy, I'm starting to listen to these other people and I like what they're saying. So I'm going to give them at least a shot, you know? And that's what it is. But like, man, you're talking about the future elections. I think fucking JD Vance did an incredible fucking turnaround job from when he was first like, even Trump turned his fucking acceptance speech. He was like,
yeah,
we got JD. You know, he's like, turned out to be pretty good. He's like, I took a lot of heat at the beginning.
He had to give him a little dig before he honored him.
Dude, it was so funny. But man, yeah.
He's got a good brain.
He is. And he's fucking, I think my favorite JD Vance clip is when, I forget the show he was on. He was on like CNN or something. It was a, you know, not a favorable show. And because he was talking about the Venezuelan gangs taking over buildings in Colorado. And the woman's like, basically she was like, you're making, her claim was that he was like making a big deal out of nothing because only a few buildings have had issues.
Yeah.
And JD Vance is like, do you hear yourself? Only a few buildings have been taken over by Venezuelan migrant gangs. It's like, that's how out of touch they are.
Yeah. That was a good clip I saw. He's just, wait. You're glossing over the major problem here.
Yeah. Do you hear yourself? That was perfect.
Foreign gangs taking over land in the United States, and we're doing nothing about it.
Yeah. But people are sick of it because now it's in there. It's reached them. Shipping all the migrants everywhere. Oh, fucking Maura Healey, the governor of Massachusetts, being like, we're not going to, you know, we're going to fight back against, the deportation measures and all that. And I'm like, I hope, I mean, I live here. I hope the state becomes so overrun with migrants that the same thing can happen to even Massachusetts, when people go, hey, I'd like to walk my kid to school without, you know, fear of them getting like assaulted or kidnapped or anything worse. That's what these people think. They think they're fucking good people. They really do. It's like, dude, this is a bad policy. I'm all for helping people out. Like, let's help out where we can, when we can, but not at the sacrifice of our own livelihood. That's fucking insanity.
You saw, New York governor, Ernie Adams, is a governor? He completely flipped right after the election. He's cutting off the ATM. Mayor, yeah. Cutting off the ATM cards for migrants that are posted up. They were getting $350 a week.
For nothing.
That's for a net income for like a minimum wage job in most of the country.
And we have American homeless on the street.
Veterans.
American homeless on the street. Like, these are the policies that people want to be in favor of because it makes them feel good. They feel like they're a good person. But like, I fucking cannot explain hard enough how these aren't helping these people at all. And you're making everything worse. And I'm so excited that the country finally caught up. I hope to God the Democrats have a fucking revolution within their party. And they go, this shit doesn't work. We want to, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't know what policy, this is my honest to God take, and I've thought about this, and I have a hard time coming to a conclusion. Well, maybe you can help me. I have a hard time trying to figure out a position or policy a Democrat liberal person could have that isn't already in a moderate way adopted by the new populist right that they could even run on. The only thing I can that they can run on are extremes that have already been rejected by the country. I don't even know what they could do.
Well, the number one thing, and you know, I this is the worst side of the election is the abortion issues, and we're not going to get in the weeds on this, but you know, Trump's policies and his appointments in the Supreme Court allowed for the overturning of Roe v. Wade, which I never thought we would see in our lifetime. And I really feel bad for the states where they, you know, issued these bans, most of which are temporary, and I'm interested to see how those, you know, work out. So that kind of stinks. Leaving it up to the states and leaving it up to the states, I think, is a fine approach. It stinks if you're the kind of person who's like, this is a very important issue to me. Now I have to move states just to keep, you know, these rights that I thought I would have my whole life.
I mean, we don't need to get in the weeds of it, but like, what are you fighting for? I think I think where it's at currently is the compromise. Mm-hmm. From normal people. Like, I think the state should, you know, it should be up to the states. Even Trump, I mean, Trump and all them, there's everything you see people screaming about online of like forcing, you know, a kid who was raped to carry the baby. Nowhere in the country is that a thing. Forcing a mother to carry a septic baby. Nowhere in the country is that a thing. They're fucking lying to people because it's a hot button emotional fucking issue. That's why they're emotional. You know what? Don't listen to me. I can't even talk. They are emotional. So they are emotional blackmail artists. That's all they do. That's what the left is now. They want you to vote because they will yell at you that you're a bad person if you take a fucking reasonable stance. So when it comes to like abortion, like Trump, he even tweeted. I am not in favor of a federal abortion ban. If it somehow came to my desk, I would veto it. You know, J.D. Vance is clear as day. And he goes, I'm fully in support of abortion in the three edge cases of, you know, rape, incest, and care of the mother. What?
He always includes the afterbirth abortions in his statements with that, too. I find somewhat entertaining because I, as far as I know, I've never heard of afterbirth abortions.
So the where that comes from is the governor, the former Democrat governor of Virginia, is on record on a radio show explaining it. It's really pretty messed up, but he's explaining what would happen if an abortion, because this happens sometimes. You know, everyone, this, all these arguments are all over the most rare of edge cases. So let's take another one.
Yeah.
And sometimes abortions are failed and the baby comes out alive. And so he was talking about in the instance where that happens, this is what he said. He says the baby would be made comfortable until the mother and the doctor had a conversation about what to do about it. That's what he's referring to. And then he's also referring to other states, Colorado, and there's a handful of other ones that have no limit on abortion. None. Zero.
I just picture a little fetus, like with a glass of cognac, getting a massage.
It's just like, wait, I gotta go.
I'm making him comfortable.
I gotta go. No, I just got here. But
anyway, enough about that topic.
No, it's important. So that because this is to the bigger point of the Democrat. What are they going to run on? So they're going to run on what now, right? Even if it's that, and they're going to listen. My body, my choice. I go, okay, I agree. And they go, I want to have an abortion at 8 months. And then everyone's going to go, no. And they're going to go, my body, my choice. I'm going to go, not at that point. Reasonable people are for abortion with a limit. A reasonable limit. The limit, I think, is more of like the actual debate. But no reasonable person who's not an absolute fucking lefty lunatic who's just like, I want to be able to abort my baby an hour before I go to the hospital to deliver it. And people go, that doesn't happen. I go, great. Then there should be no argument against making it illegal to do so. Well, what was it? Well, if it either doesn't happen or it does happen. And like, I think most reasonable people would be like, I don't like that either. And it's like, I think there's people willing to compromise. I think the majority of people are like I said, the position is, the overall position should be, it should be safe, legal, and rare, right? That's the thing. And then it's just a matter of limits. I don't think anyone, I mean, even like, where was it? Kentucky or Kansas, who's like typically are like a red state. Like when it, like they voted for it and it's like, okay, that's, I mean, they're a red state. Yep. And they were like, no, we, yeah. And that's what they wanted. And I was like, great. Wonderful. Who's upset? But my final two things on it. Again, it's just another tool in the emotional blackmail. And these people just are, they're just screaming fucking harpies who don't have an actual thought. And they're so emotional. They're irrational. And then my second and final point about it is, if it really meant what they claim it means to them, they would have codified it years ago when they had full control, and they never do because they need it to emotionally manipulate people into voting for their candidate. That is what I'm talking about when people have caught on to this stuff and they're not doing it anymore. So, okay. Unless you have anything else to say, I think we can move on from this now. This topic, not the election, but anyway, go on.
Yeah. So I think that's obviously their number one go-to. The second one would be, how come neither side has taken up the legalize pot federally stance?
Yeah.
What's holding them back there? Is it the prison, you know, lobbyists? Is it, you know, what's going on? I think it's pretty, you know, world, or, you know, at least nationally recognized that there's nothing wrong with a little ganja. And it's legal in like half the country. Make it federally legal. Get these fucking petty criminals out of jail.
I don't know. And honestly, I think either side could pick it up. You know what I mean? I feel like either side.
But what's holding? Neither side is willing to go for it, and it seems like a slam dunk for a lot of votes.
You know what it is? I feel like because at this point it's basically legal in most places, it doesn't get like the reaction for either side to care enough about. I wouldn't be surprised if like. Someone just like in the federal government was just like, hey, I propose this. And I was like, yeah, that sounds fine. And then like it passed and like there wasn't even like it barely made a dent in the news cycle.
Oh, you mean like the daylight savings time vote? which we decided, I guess, like a year or two ago, like, yeah, let's fucking not deal with this stupid shit anymore. Went to Congress and they were just like, yeah, let's table that. It's like, no, we all agreed. Everybody agreed. Let's fucking stop this madness. We're not all farmers. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And they just were like, ah, that'll give the people what they want. Let's stop there.
God, I don't know. Congress is an absolute joke. People barely ever go to do their job. They send their proxies all the time. I think that should be fucking...
Did the Republicans take Congress?
Not officially yet. They're 5 seats away currently, and the Dems are 16 seats away, and all the... It's looking like a 98% chance that they're going to take Congress as well.
And the Republicans took the Senate, right?
They took the Senate. Took the Senate, the popular vote.
Jeez. This could be a big fucking big term here for Mr. Trump.
It's an absolute mandate. The people want what he's selling.
They've got a couple of Supreme Court justices that they should try to encourage to get the fuck out of there. If they want to play that political game.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're gonna have another Ruth Bader Ginsburg situation if they don't.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find just like a list of basically the things Trump was saying. Colin.
While you're looking for that, I'll quickly say I went to a brewery yesterday in Tewksbury, Massachusetts called the Treehouse.
One of the towns that voted for Trump?
One of the Treehouse breweries. Great, great beer makers. Awesome venue. It was full of fucking babies, though. There was so many babies there. It was really weird.
Was that the one that used to be the Tewksbury Country Club?
Yep. Yeah. Great spot. But it's like a Chuck E. Cheese without all the fun. And better beer and better pizza.
Really?
Just as many kids, though.
Just as many kids.
Apparently breweries are a great family spot for fucking hanging out. There was like birthday parties and shit. I was there for a birthday party.
Who's
the 40th? You don't know him.
I don't know him? Well, whoever it is, I wish him a happy birthday. Oh, here we go. So he's been putting out like a series of these videos. This is from like one of the earlier ones. It's got a bunch. It's just it's 10 things that he's planning on doing, right? Number one, immediately reissue my 2020 executive order restoring the president's authority to remove rogue bureaucrats. Yeah, get them the fuck out. Number two, clean out all the corrupt actors in our national security and intelligence apparatus. Yeah, like the people that fucking lied about Russiagate for fucking 3 years and made you think that they framed the fucking sitting president for treason. Totally reform FISA courts, which are so corrupt that judges seemingly do not care when they're lied to in warrant applications, which is exactly what happened with Carter Page, and that's how they spied on the Trump campaign, was with a fake... I'll give you the short version for people who aren't aware of this. Carter Page worked on the Trump campaign. He also worked with the CIA. The FBI went to... Russia approached Carter Page. The FBI found out about this. They went to the CIA about it. The CIA said, yes, we know about that because Carter Page is working for us. And he told us immediately, so he's good. The FBI then went to the FISA courts for a warrant to spy on Carter Page. This is what they said in the application. I'll summarize. Carter Page was approached by the Russians and the CIA confirmed it. And then that's how they got the FISA warrant. And when you get a FISA warrant to spy on somebody, you can spy on anyone that they're talking to. It's how it works. So that was their in to spy on the Trump campaign. So that's
with 7 degrees, you could eventually spy on Kevin Bacon.
You can eventually spy on Kevin Bacon, which I think was the real goal of the FBI, to which I understand. Let's see what happened here. Oh, there we go. Number four, expose the hoaxes and abuses of power that have been tearing our country apart. That's kind of broad, but sure. Number five, launch a major crackdown on government leakers who collude with fake news to deliberately false narratives to subvert our government democracy. Yeah, no more fucking sources close to say this And then it's like, what are you fucking talking about?
You can't stop that.
You can't, but when things are proven to be fake and they keep doing it, then prime example, when someone leaked the Roe v. Wade writings before the fucking they were announced. That's not good. I like this one.
Has become common practice for news outlets, newspapers especially, to just go ahead and publish something outlandish and then months later issue a correction.
Correct.
Like, yeah.
On like page 40 at the bottom.
Right. On a Friday.
Right. Number six, make every inspector general's office independent and physically separated from the departments they oversee so they do not become the protectors of the deep state. Who argues with this? Who would be like, no, I want people to inspect themselves. We looked into it and found we weren't doing anything wrong. Like, that's basically is the argument against that. Number seven, ask Congress to establish an independent auditing system to continually monitor our intelligence agencies, basically church committees, to ensure that they are not spying on our citizens or running disinformation campaigns against American people, or that they are not spying on someone's campaign like they spied on my campaign.
Yeah, he had to add that in there. Oh, yeah. Otherwise, it sounded a little better, in my opinion. But
but
this is what Elon Musk and Ron Paul are going to tackle, I think, is the Government Efficiency Bureau.
Dude,
or whatever.
100%. Number eight, continue the effort launched by the Trump administration to move parts of the sprawling federal bureaucracy to new locations outside of the Washington swamp. I like that. Number nine, work to ban federal bureaucrats from taking jobs at the companies they deal with and that they regulate. This is one of my favorite ones. So basically, if you look into it, there's a long history of like people at the FDA, the CDC, then getting cushy jobs at like Pfizer and Moderna and back and forth. It happens. It's been happening for fucking decades, and we're all worse off for it. And it needs to end. And like this is, it's things like this that very much explain why he was so aggressively attacked. Because this is bad for the machine. This is bad for people who fucking make money exploiting everybody. This is why things like this. And then finally, number 10, push a constitutional amendment to oppose term limits on members on Congress. So bring on those term limits.
Yeah, impose the term limits.
Oh, impose,
that's our version
yeah.
of that where it said oppose.
Yeah, impose. But people have been like, oh, there should be term limits. Cool. Trump's going to do it. Oh, but I don't like Trump. It's like, well, but do you like this? Yeah. You like that? Yeah. What about this? Yeah, I like that too. All right, so what's the problem here? Well, he said mean words once when he was like not a politician. Oh, okay. Well, have fun.
He definitely fucked underage girls at Epstein Island too.
I don't know. what's your basis for that?
Just a hunch.
Good one.
Well, he was best friends with Vince McMahon, who was into depraved shit.
Best friends?
That's of the whole Russian dossier thing. Which the one thing I take out of that is yeah, it was largely the whole thing was fake. I bet he did get peed on by a hooker.
I mean, why not? You're paying for it.
Nothing illegal about that.
Right. Yeah. For those who don't know, the Steele dossier was opposition research funded by the Hillary Clinton campaign that the FBI knew was fake and used and knowingly decided to use that as to launch the Russiagate scandal, basically, is what it is.
Well, they did admit it was fake a few years later.
Well, then it's and all is forgiven. But that's what I'm talking about. That shit has finally caught up to them. And if you're like hearing this for the first time, you go, oh, that was fake. Like, yeah, man. How do you feel now? I'd be pretty fucking pissed. And rightfully so. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. He also, so basically the thing I'm most concerned about is his appointments, but it seems like he's listening to the right people. And he's not having Pompeo back. Nikki Haley has nothing to do with his administration, which
I
is great.
Saw that.
So it sounds like he's listening to the right people finally. Oh, that was my point earlier about like who the Democrats are going to run because they have nobody. And then the fucking, the populist right has Vance, Vivek Ramaswamy, fucking DeSantis. There's plenty of Thomas Massie, like plenty of people who are just like, you know, ready to go. Byron Donalds, McDonald's or whatever. Like, let's go. Let's fucking go. But man, good week.
Yeah. Any easier platform to run on the Republican side these days, because the Democrats can't even agree on whatever the fuck, because their opinions on what's going on change with the fucking wind.
Yeah.
Whether it's
bad
gender or, you know, whatever. It's like, where are you? Where are you focusing your efforts? Nowhere good.
No, they thought they wanted to try one last time to bully people into voting for them. And it doesn't work anymore. People are like, yeah, but you're a bad person. He goes, I don't care. You're going to call me a bad person anyway. I'm voting Trump. I don't give a shit anymore. You guys are fucking ridiculous. That's what happened. Oh, my nuts. But man. Oh, the only thing we haven't touched upon is, like, you know, hold on. Let me look one more time here. See what the number is. Well, you know, it's not too bad anymore. There was a lot of votes missing early on, but it seems like California is kind of caught up there. All right. Well, that's not too bad. Okay. All right. Will, do you have a death or something? Oh no, I have a death.
Do
oh,
I? God. No.
I was too. Oh my God.
Right, you teased that episode for almost a year. Of course you're going to win it.
I know. And it was so good. And
it was a good time. I thought everybody was on the level. It wasn't like a fucking manic.
Yeah.
Diatribe of fucking arguments.
No.
Hey, this is bad. We agree. Okay.
You know what? That does suck. Yeah.
We should do a top five things we like about government. See if we can get five things.
That's tough. That's a tough one. Hey, I like
it's our
the
duty.
Architecture
it's our
of the
duty
buildings.
To hate them.
I like the old architecture of the buildings.
You like Boston City Hall?
No, that's a shitty one, right?
Yeah.
I like the State House.
State House is great.
Yeah, State House is great. It's got that dome, that gold dome. I don't fucking have a death. I don't. We were all on it, right? Jeez. I don't even know. I'm gonna forego my death because I want the other two to be here.
Well, Charles might have killed himself.
Oh yeah. He was running
doing his Iron Man, or was it the Tough Mudder 24-hour race he was doing, and apparently he was puking up diarrhea.
Ew. Yeah,
I guess that's what he uses to carbo load before an event.
What, diarrhea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He started throwing it up, so he had to cut his race a little short. He was in the upper tier of his group though, early on, over the first, you know, 400 miles or whatever it was. His fiance crossed the 50-mile mark this morning, so congratulations to Jess. And Sam was there to towel them off.
Is that what he was there for? Yeah, they're both over. By the way, they're not here because they're together. Which, what can you do?
I think they're falling in love.
I think they're falling in love. I got to be honest here. I don't think Charles will eventually get married because him and Sam are going to run off.
I hope they just, at least if they do end up together, they keep the same wedding date up in Maine, because I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a good weekend.
Don't take this away from us.
We deserve it.
Right. We do. We're the real heroes. What are we talking about this week, Will?
This week, I come up with the idea for top five things we've wasted money on.
Right. And we talked before the show to the fact that we have done dumbest purchases before, but this one's different, at least for me. A little bit, and yeah. Will wasn't on that episode, so there you go.
Yeah, that was episode 33, if you're willing to go back.
So long ago. Over 400 episodes ago.
The OG crew of Matt and the Twinks.
Matt and the Twinks. Hey, hey, we're the Twinks, featuring Matt.
People say we're twinking around.
Twinkie, twinkie.
It doesn't have to necessarily be an item or a purchase, but just a bad investment, an ill-placed swell of fortune, or anything else that just was a complete waste of your resources. Maybe you dropped some gold doubloons on Enron right before they got found out for being scandalous. top five things that we've wasted money on.
All right. I can start.
Go for it.
My number five is AirPod repair. And it's less about the repairing of the AirPods, but there was this one time, I think I told the story before, but my AirPods weren't working. I think I broke them, like with the tonality of my voice, because they were just so crackly, especially when I was on the phone and especially when I was talking. So I was like, I got a little bit of time. I'm going to go bring these AirPods into an Apple store and just be like, hey, these don't work. Can I drop them off? Like, yada, yada. That's what I wanted to do. Ultimately, I wanted to go in there, be like, I need this repair. They're not working. Here's my issue. Drop them off. They look at them. They tell me if they can do anything about them or, you know, whatever. No. Why would it be that easy? I go in, I tell they're like, oh, what can I do? I'm like, oh, I want to do this. They're like, okay, well, we can set you up an appointment Thursday. It was like Tuesday. I was like, no. I was like, why can't I just go drop these off now? And they're like, well, you know, we it's not how our system works. And you're like, you need an appointment. I was like, for what? They're like, someone can go over, you know, with the issue with you. I was like, I don't need people to go over the issue with me. They don't work. And it just went back and forth with me just being like, what good is this appointment of me coming back? I go, is the outcome going to be the same whether I drop them off now or 2 days, make me come back to drop them off 2 days from now? Like, I don't care how long it takes. I'll drop them off now. I was like, what if you just hold on to these behind the counter until Thursday and then put them in your system? Like, what's the deal here? And they were so fucking annoying about it. And I just said, you know what? These don't work. So I'm going to hand these to you. And I handed them to her because I was so fucking mad. I go, just throw them in the trash. I go, because they're no good to me. And I stormed out because I was so fucking annoyed. And then I was like, oh, man, those were like $210 AirPods. I was like, I probably should have done that. So a little bit of regret and definitely a waste of money because I only had them for a couple months. But it was definitely a waste of money to do that. So that's my number five.
Oh, I got a recommendation for you. Just go on Amazon and buy Tozo earbuds. You can get them good? from $10, which are very serviceable, up to like $40 for ones that have the ANC noise cancellation. They work just fine.
Do they work?
Those are my backups for doing Zoom meetings and stuff at work. My go-tos are some Google Pixel buds that I got for free with my phone when I bought it. But yeah, to spend $200 on earbuds and then have to go through all those fucking hoops, just another reason to say fuck you, Apple.
So after that, I was like, I told my wife, I go, I don't want any more fucking Apple AirBuds. So she got me these Bose ones, like some higher end Bose AirBuds, and like they were good, but man, they were fucking big and heavy.
I was gonna say Bose, you're gonna get a good product, but it's gonna be overpriced and not as advanced as some of the other stuff out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I want really fucking high end earbuds that just like blow my mind. I have AirPod Pros again right now, but I feel like they're just like bad. I almost wanted to just be like, because I have Bose over the ear ones that are just way better. I know too. Like earbuds versus over the ears are going to be like they're like almost incomparable. But I want, I want like earbuds that are as good or whatever, but I don't know. We'll see. I got my wife some Sony earbuds and they were like light as a feather. I was like, man, I should fucking get me some of these. But yeah, number five, AirPod repair. Fucked up. Will?
Ugh, that sucks. I hate to hear it. I bought my wife AirPod Pros and they don't fit her ears very well, so she just doesn't use them. Like, well,
perfect.
This $200 sitting in a drawer.
Yeah.
Anyway. My number five, and I wanted to get this one out of the way because I figured we'd be talking politics early in the episode. That time I checked off the donate $3 to political campaigns box on my tax returns.
You fucked up.
What a waste of money.
$3 and gone.
Maybe you are one of these people. Who's donating to political campaigns? I don't know anybody personally who is writing checks to the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. For what? So they can send you more text messages asking for money or put on like another fucking commercial in the middle of a football game?
I have not donated
to a political party is fucking insane.
Yeah, I haven't I understand why. Like, I haven't donated, but I'm not against donating. Maybe in my later years, depending on what's happening, but I have not personally, but I get it.
It's fucking ridiculous. It's moronic. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know anybody who's like, yeah, I sent another $200 to the Harris campaign. Why?
Just
go buy groceries.
The trash. I know. Buy somebody else groceries.
But I don't know. I think for political campaigns in elections, especially since it's blatantly a two-party system, why don't we just have a pool and you split it? And there you go. That's what you got. You got X amount of commercial time. Use it to your best advantage.
Because honestly,
regurgitating and plastering
yeah.
the same fucking crap over and over again. It just, you get desensitized to it almost immediately anyway.
Yeah. Money out of politics is a big deal. They really should just like you're saying, there should just be a pool of money that gets allocated to both campaigns since there's only two. And then they can spend that. And then I think like maybe this is so like, I don't know, a bit of overreach, but I wouldn't mind it if like there was some regulation through the FCC that required
yeah.
basically every broadcast to just be like, all right, you got to give each of these people, you know, this much time for ads, both of them. It's like just simple as that. That way one person can't drastically out fucking fundraise and just, you know, basically table push around the other person. It's like, this is what you can do. Like here, form your best message in this amount of time and it'll go everywhere or like, you know, whatever. But I don't know. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, that's my number five. I mean, if donating to a political campaign is silly to me, but even if, you know, you do have a good point, where there is a reason you want to, you have millions of millions and you really believe in a candidate, that $3 checkbox on your fucking tax returns is really insulting, I feel.
We've done a lot of math and we've determined $3 is the best amount.
That would be $1 billion, right around there for the, if everybody did, check that box.
Hell yeah.
And the big complaint. Ah, fuck. I don't want to get back into the political shit.
No, let's go. It's episode after the election. Come on.
They were talking that Kamala Harris had $1 billion in her coffers essentially like a month ago.
And then what happened?
Spent it all.
They're $20 million in debt.
Oh, yeah. And vendors are worried they're not getting paid for the fucking Beyonce concert. Well, it wasn't a concert. She didn't sing. But right. When they trotted out all the celebrities, they probably paid the Avengers a shit ton of money to make that stupid Zoom video.
Oh, thank you. That reminds me. Yo, fuck that. Mark, man, I fucking actively, outwardly hate and despise Mark Ruffalo. He is such a, I thought about it earlier. I was like, man, I need like a Trump name for him. He's the incredible cuck. He's the absolute incredible cuck. He's a fucking, he has my favorite character, and he has the most weak version of my fucking favorite character. He's a fucking, just a liberal nut who couldn't fucking stand on any fucking level of scrutiny for his fucking, his base of opinions. Man, what a fucking ass idiot. Fuck him. And like, the fucking Avengers, I'll get it. Get the fuck out of here. I get it. The Diddy tapes are coming. Just fucking relax.
God, fuck I fucking them. Hope the Diddy tapes are coming. I'll watch that shit on pay-per-view.
Hell yeah. I want to see J-Lo just getting train run on her by freaking Diddy and, I don't know, the fucking
I want to see John Legend fucking Matt Damon in the ass.
Hell yeah.
But no, John Legend's definitely the bottom.
Probably. Actually, Matt Damon's pretty based. I think he's like very much like, I don't want to deal with politics. I just want to make movies, so I'm going to just start making my own movies.
I mean, the guy exclusively dates teenagers.
Matt Damon? I'm talking about Leonardo DiCaprio. Him?
Oh, DiCaprio's the one that breaks up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's Leo, man. I don't know.
Nah, Damon's cool. He's a Boston guy.
Yeah.
Although those Dunkin' Donuts commercials are fucking dumb now. Anyway.
Yeah, they're funny ones. Anyway, all right, my number four.
Yeah.
I wrote down for my number four, toy helicopter from Russians. one time when I was probably in middle school, I think me and some friends got some money from our parents to go do like Christmas shopping at the local Rockingham Mall. And we basically, those like kiosks in the center of the mall, which always have some foreign national working at them. This guy was flying around this helicopter that like caught our eye, and he basically made us all buy a bunch of helicopters. We're like these like little kids, and he was like this like big like tracksuit wearing Russian, and he's like, pretty cool, huh? You buy, you want? He's like, and he was like, I was like, you know, trying to be nice. I was like, well, how much are they? And they were reasonably priced. And I kind of just wanted one for me, but then he was basically like, he's like, you buy two, I give you one. I was like, all right. So I was like, fine, I'll buy two, and I'll give you one. He's like, all right. It's like, you buy three, I'll give you five. I was like, what's happening? I bought five. I paid for three and I bought five. And we all did. We all bought three. And like, we all had like basically like $40 to $50.
You didn't group it together, so you each got one.
He made all of us do it. And he was just like, he's like, you. He like basically like rang up one of them, like one of them for our friend, and he was like, wasn't even talking. And he was just like, okay. And like handed him like his money. And like, the thing that sucked was like, we got home and I don't know if that Russian guy just had like the only one working version of this helicopter, but like, I couldn't fucking fly this thing at all. It just sucked. It like kept like no battery. It just awful. I was like, man, it, like, I'll never forget that. I've been like such like a consumer skeptic ever since that day. Cause I was like, man, I got fucking taken to the ringers.
I remember those, and I had a couple of them. Those helicopters fucking ruled. Yeah, you could only fly them for like 90 seconds on a charge, but they charged pretty fast.
No way, but man.
And then the first crash, they're done. They're toast.
Mm-hmm. And like, that was all the money I had for Christmas gifts for like my whole family. I was like, hey, everyone's getting a helicopter. <It's>
a broken one because you took them all out of the package.
I've used them all. None of them work. Here you go.
That's a good one. The mall kiosk shysters.
Yeah, I remember one time I had like this like hot lady was like, he's like, oh, he's like, she was like, she like wanted to like show me like her the like nail product, and she like walked up and like grabbed my hand, and I was like, ooh, and she like buffed and shined my thumbnail, and then I was like, no, I was like, I don't know anyone. She's like, what about your girlfriend? I was like, I don't have a girlfriend. And I was like, man, this is my moment. This is when it's all happening. Look at me. I was like, geez, you think someone would date me? I'm like basically one step away from like a troll. But so like she shined and buffed my nail. I gotta say, whatever that product was, my fucking thumbnail was noticeably clean and shiny for like 3 weeks. And like, people were like picking up on it. They'd be like, what's up with your thumbnail? I was like, right? I was like, it's just glistening in the sun. And it's like, I don't know, some woman at the mall just buffed it up for me.
Normally you had that brown French manicure look.
Oh, just covered in boogers. Yeah, I pick my nose with my thumb.
I had one of them kiosk fucking guys that were trying to sell like shoe cleaner. They're like, oh, yo, let me see your shoes. Let me see your shoes. I was wearing my fucking work boots. It was like mud and grass in them. I'm like, I don't need my boots to be fucking shiny, buddy, but thanks.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're good salesmen. You have to ignore them like they're panhandlers because,
oh my God,
that's essentially what they are.
Yeah. You got to treat them like Laszlo from friggin' What We Do in the Shadows. It's like, no, fuck off trying to sell me cheap sex potions.
I had to tell some fucking old Asian guy to fuck off. I was in Cambridge last week. And I stopped because I was early because you can't get to Cambridge on time. It's impossible. So I always come real early, and I got some breakfast from McDonald's, and I was sitting there eating it, killing some time. And this old Asian guy starts walking up to my window, and I just wave my hand like, nope, nope, all set. The fuck, he comes to me with like praying, begging hands, and I'm just like, leave me the fuck alone, man. I can't stand that shit. And it's so prevalent. It's creeping its way up to where I live in Haverhill now, where there's a panhandler at every entrance to a shopping plaza. Drives me nuts.
Yeah.
But anyway. Mall helicopters.
Yep, from the Russians. All right, you're number four? Oh, can I, before you go, interject right here, I forgot to mention, I've been trying to get people to come do a show with me about the election from like basically everyone who's been like posting like huge long, you know, the world is falling posts basically. I'm 0 for almost 3. I'm 0 for 2 for sure. But was one person was like, I've been DMing them back and forth, and like I feel like they want to do it. But they keep asking me all these qualifying questions, I think for two reasons. One, I feel like they think I'm like trying to scam them for some reason. And then two, I feel like they want to do it, but they, and like, this could be like, just like unfair of me, but like, it's my true opinion. I feel like they're waiting for me to answer a question in a way where they can like write me off and be like, oh, I don't have to talk to this person because I think they're like, whatever they said is so outrageous.
Is that your friend from New York who thinks I'm hilarious?
No. I bet that person doesn't listen at all anymore since I told his girlfriend to come on the show to tell me what I'm so uninformed about, which she never did because of course they wouldn't. That's my thing, man. Fucking come. I'm so stupid. Make me look like the fool I am, everybody. It's that fucking simple. And it's like, it's just not going to happen. Like you might open my eye to something I was unaware of, but like, you're not going to crumble my worldview. It's just like, it's too fact-based. I don't know what to tell you. With receipts, by the way. This person, like I said, I think they want to come on. I think they want to do the show. I just think that they're like, they're a little guarded, which I get, but like if anyone else knows somebody else that has their own podcast, I'll go on their show. Like, I'll go to you. I have no problem with that. But I genuinely just want to have a conversation with someone who thinks the world is falling because I need to understand why you think that. And it's like, it could be legit reasons that I don't know. It's totally possible. But from like what I see, what they post, I go, man, like, go look at this, go look at that. But they just won't. It's just like frustrating. I just want to like shake people. But like, you can have these opinions, but you're basing them in fiction. Like, not to tell you, but I don't know. So maybe I can get this person to do the show with me. I'd like to. I like this person. But we'll see. But I mean, these DMs going back and forth are they're getting pretty long. He just asked me another question, and I was just like, dude, I was like, I don't want to have the conversation before the conversation. I was like, just do the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, no, sorry.
That would be great. There's not enough of that, you know. Excuse me, the you know, one side and the other side discourse where it doesn't deteriorate into bullshit, which I think you're capable of having those conversations.
I think so too.
And that was one of my biggest, I loved having, listening before I was on the show, Better Matt. He was great because he brought in a different perspective. And for the most part, he was, you know, informed and had an opinion on things. That's sorely missed, at least in my end, to have that dichotomy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Just try my best. With him, I couldn't take the moral grandstanding anymore from people like that.
It didn't convey so much across the shows, but for those listeners out there, Matt yells at all the co-hosts before and after every episode ad nauseum. We are just punching bags, and he just screams at us about, you know, following his suit and voting Republican party lines no matter what. That's just his personality.
Don't be complete idiots. That's all I ask. Is it that hard to just do everything correctly in the way I see fit?
If you do, visit a different podcast, let me know. I'll travel with you. I'll do your hair and makeup.
Oh, 100. If it was a video one where I had to go somewhere, I would 100% let you do my hair and makeup.
And I will drink 18 beers throughout 100%. The show. Not on air. I'm not going to be on the air, but in the background, I'm going to drink 18 beers. You're just going to hear the.
If they were like a real lefty podcast, there'd be nothing they could say to me. I'd be like, you're not shaming me, are you? I thought that was like frowned upon. Yeah, I have makeup all over my face. It's how I identify as a clown.
I'm going to use the Homer Simpson makeup gun.
Oh my God. Set it to whore. But yeah, your number, so, I hope it happens, but your number four anyway.
My number four. Another, I'm realizing a lot of my list is very low cost, waste of money. That's because I'm so goddamn fiscally responsible. But my number four is the $2 I spent at a Montreal strip club when I was 18. And I'll elaborate on that.
Go on.
So, we were 18 years old, just out of high school. My buddies and I used to do a weekly poker game. And we're sitting around the game one night and we go, man, we should go to fucking Canada. You know, we're all 18. We can drink up there. It'll be fucking boss. So I'm like, yeah, we should go tomorrow. And everybody's like, yeah. Started as like six people, ended up being three of us that actually ponied up and jumped in the car the next day and went to Montreal. And we get up there, we buy some stupid Canadian beer. Nearly get arrested at the border. I might have mentioned that on the show once. And we get to our hotel. We take the night out, going down a St. Catherine Street, I believe it's called, where there's just a bunch of strip clubs. And one of them being like Super Sex, it was called. It was this gigantic.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. It was very European. That place was cool. We did like a little, spent some time there, had a little lesbian show, which was not worth the money. And then we left that place, went to another strip club, and we made it halfway up the staircase. And the guy goes, no, you guys can't come in. You're too drunk. So we went down the stairs, went back down the stairs, couple doors down. There was a staircase going down into a basement where the guy at the top of the staircase was like, hey, guys, $10 cover. You can do whatever you want in here. Touch them, everything. And we're like, all right. So we go into this shady strip club with, you know, slightly less desirable women performing. And
the B team.
If you've ever been to a strip club, you know, you tip them on stage while they're doing their thing. You throw some dollar bills up and they come over and they squish their boobs together and you go, oh, yeah. You know, stomp your leg a few times like a cartoon coyote.
And Ollie and Mr. Bill in the background there. So I'm at the strip club. I'm sitting up on the stage. There's a lovely woman up there doing her thing, and I try to tip her. I'm trying to put up dollars and stuff, and she's not taking them. And I go to the bouncer, the guy who sat us down. I'm like, hey, I'm trying to tip the girls. How do you tip the girls? They don't seem to be doing it. And he goes, oh, here's what you do. You take one of these, and he takes a toonie out of my hand, the $2 coins. And he goes, you take this, stand on your chair, and put it in your teeth. And I'm like, all right. Well, I should have realized something was up at this point, but I was a young 18-year-old. I was inebriated. So I stand on my chair. I put a fucking filthy coin in my mouth. And the stripper takes me on stage with her.
Yeah.
Lays me down flat on my back with the coin still in my teeth. And then she draped her snatch grabba down my face.
Oh, my God.
Collecting the coin with her thighs. And I got up. I'm pretty sure my nose was moist. I got up, sat back in my chair, and I was just really not enjoying myself from there on. Something like that you think sounds kind of sexy. Ooh, getting pussy. No, not at the downstairs strip club. It was gross. It was traumatizing. And I paid to do that. It was very stupid of me.
I don't know.
So if you're going to Canada and you're going to the strip club, just save your money. Get a lap dance. Don't tip on stage. You ever experience this?
No. Well, I'm trying to think. I think every time I've gone to a strip club, I feel like I have gotten exactly the amount of money I've put into it out of it. You know what's too bad is like, there used to be, so my favorite strip club locally was a place called Max 2.
Mac 2's in Billerica, right?
I thought it was Max 2. Is it Mac 2's?
Mac 2's. Yeah, because they lost their liquor license, so it was an under 21 club.
So, yeah, exactly. It was under 21. It was 18 plus, right? And that was the thing. It was like, oh, you can't drink there. I don't drink. So I was like, perfect. Wonderful for me. But I will say the quality of, like, girl at that place far surpassed all the other places. All the other places were filled with veterans. And I am not interested in just old ass. Like, it just wasn't the case. I was like, man, I remember when I turned 21, I was like, oh, man, we get to go to, like, you know, tens or whatever now, like the real, real strip clubs. I walk in there, and it's like, what the fuck is this? This is friggin' disgusting. I was like, I hate this.
I never went to tens. It is probably the most classy
the place around the build here. That's the thing. The building is great. Like the everything other than the strippers on stage is great. That's like the best way I can put it. And that's too bad.
You were at the bachelor party for our friend Justin, right? When we went to the cabaret.
Yeah, with his uncle.
And before you get to that, we got him a lap dance from a stripper, and it turned out she had a baby like 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
And she just talked about that to him the whole time during his lap dance.
Listen, I'm not saying they're not without their charms, okay? I'm just saying I'm going there for some eye candy, and that's what I want. So after like Max 2's closed, I was like, well, that's over. I would only go to strip clubs for like basically just like the memes. If like I could put it any other way. It was like I have no faith I'm going to do anything and have any form of like visual stimulant at all. I did go to one strip club. There was one stripper who was like a smoke show, and man, she was probably just like making money hand over fist. But I mean, she was a really, really attractive lady. But yeah, I've also been to male strip clubs. Those are fun.
Gay.
Wicked gay. They do like fucking like acrobats and shit like that. And also, I remember I went to a male strip club because I was on like a bachelorette party because I was in the wedding on the bride side. And I was like, yeah, I'll go. I don't care.
Did you get a lap dance?
No, but I did put dollars in their G-strings. It's pictures of me doing it because you can take pictures. That's one thing. And two,
really, that'll get you beat up at a fucking regular strip club.
It's a total goddamn free for all in those places. The women are just grabbing these guys, and I was like, whoa, 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 you can just grab these people, and like, oh yeah, and like I was like, what? This is, if I accidentally brush up against a stripper the wrong way at the wrong time, I'm getting tossed in the street.
Like Jazz getting kicked out of the Bel Air mansion.
Yeah, basically. But this place was fucking chaos. It was a pure culture shock for me. I was like, I can't believe what I'm witnessing. And then there's like this one dude did this like fucking aggressive cartwheel and basically does it in a way where he lands like in your chair. And he
sphincter to nose.
Well, no, he like lands with like his face, like pretty much like right in your face and like kind of like over you. There ain't no way he was aiming for, like he was aiming for someone next to me and he landed right in me, right on me. And I was like, yo, I was like, dude, nice. Cause it was like an impressive like flip. And he's like looked at me and then like immediately scurried over to the little woman next to me. I was like, all right, cool.
But that was because you pulled your teeth out.
Well, I didn't have, no, because I had my old teeth at the time. Those were good. Those were bad enough.
I think that's allowed in a male strip club because, you know, if you're groping on him or whatever, the guy could just beat the shit out of the woman if he had to.
Yeah, they're not like skinny twinks. He's like muscle guys.
Doesn't work the other way.
I do have those photos. If anyone would like to see them, they are on my personal Facebook. But if enough people want me to find them and put them on the Discord, I will. It's pretty funny. But who's up? Me? You?
Yeah, that was my number four, the Montreal Strip Club.
That's right. My number three, waste of money, my first timeshare. What a dumb, classic, dumb idiot thing I did.
Was it in Aruba?
No, it was in Florida. It was in Disney. It's at Wyndham, though. It's the only timeshare within the Disney gates that isn't owned by Disney. And my dad owns a ton of fucking Wyndham timeshare points. So what happened is, for a Christmas gift, he let me and my sister use his timeshare. And that was the first time that I went to Disney. And it was fucking awesome. The place is great, okay? Like, the property and the amenities are awesome. And it is within the Disney gates. So they are so timeshare-y though, so we're staying there on my dad's points and they were like, oh, you want to come to a meeting? We'll give you a $200 gift card. I was like, oh yeah, of course I can sit there and say no and get $200. Nope. I said yes. I was like, oh yeah, me and my sister split one. And I don't use it. I still pay for it. It's all paid off at this point, but it was like a 10-year loan. It's all paid off except for the maintenance fees, which will be in perpetuity for forever. And, I don't use it. I used it once. The last time I used it was before me and Megan were still dating and we did one big trip and we booked it there. And it was awesome. Like I said, the place itself is really, really nice, but then I bought DVC, and that's all I use, and I wish I just bought two DVCs instead of this, but waste of money.
Well, let me know. I'll use your timeshare if you're not going to. I'm not going to pay you.
I wouldn't even care. My sister uses the points from time to time, but I honestly wouldn't care. I have no use for them. I'm never going to go to – the only time I can see myself using it is if I wanted to do like a fucking – 20-day Florida trip, and I just like would run out of my own DBC points, and then I would supplement it the stay with like those points.
Yeah,
but that's about it. But man, waste of money.
Man, I can't believe you fucking went to them. I've never gone to one of those timeshare meetings. I can't believe you went in and got suckered in.
They make a really
no respect for you anymore.
Listen, I was the perfect candidate. It was my first time being in Florida. It was my first time going to Disney. morale was so high. I was with all my friends. I was having the best fucking time. And basically, just they were
beaming.
Like, yeah. They're like, would you like to continue doing this? I was like, yes, I would. They go, well, here you go. And I was like, sounds good. And that was it. Simple as that. Simple as that.
Timeshares. You know timeshares are a scam when there's a big industry of commercials of a company trying to get you out of your timeshares. I hear them all the time.
Will, I get 3 calls a day.
To try to get you out of it? To buy it off you or whatever?
Always. Always.
And you're like, no, I'll pay the fees and not use it.
Well, because the thing is, you have to pay like a couple $1,000s to like a lawyer to get you out of them. That's like the thing. They're like, yeah, but you know, if you're paying like $30 a month for, you know, the next 20 years, that's even more money.
Oh, so the return on investment's like 8 years out.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I was like, it's $30. I pay $30 a month. It's fine. I pay $30 a month for something that I could potentially use. I've paid more money for gym memberships for years that I never went to. When I made way less money. So.
Yeah. That's one that could have made anyone's list here today is gym memberships, I'm sure. Except Charles and Sam. Fucking freaks.
Yeah. Well, look at them now. Puking.
Puking up diarrhea.
Yeah. I'm not puking up diarrhea.
Nope. I was puking up regular stomach acid.
I wasn't even puking. But yeah, that's my number 3. Will, your number 3?
My number 3, and I've done this twice in the last year,
mm-hmm.
is getting pizza delivered to the wrong state.
What?
So, as you know, I travel a lot for work. Mm-hmm. And one of my go-tos, if I get in like late on a Sunday, is I'll do Domino's. Because then I got, you know, 2 days worth of pizza in the fridge that I can heat up. They're reliable. You know what you're getting. And their delivery's typically fast. Everywhere in New Jersey where I work normally is a fucking crapshoot of whether your food's actually going to show up or not.
Great.
So it really sucks. So I usually lean on Domino's if I'm hard up, if it's late. But multiple times, then I'd be at home. And I remember specifically a few months ago, I was with my mother. I was like, I'll order some pizzas, and I got coupons or whatever. And I ordered it. I'm like, man, it's taking a long time. And I check it, and it was delivered to a hotel I stayed at 3 months ago in New Jersey. And there's nothing you can do because it's all my fuck up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I also do the, like, leave it at the door thing usually. So,
oh, great.
So, like, the people who get it, like, don't even realize it's there until they walk out of their hotel and there's just a couple of pizzas sitting there. I have had, and like I said, I've done this more than once recently, so that sucks. One time the guy called me and he's like, hey, I got your delivery here. And I was like, I don't see you. And he's like, I'm going to room fucking 328. And I'm like, room 3? Oh, fuck. And I'm like, I'm sorry, man. I'm in Massachusetts. And he's like, oh, so, and I'm like, I don't know. If you can give it to somebody who wants it, go for it. And I can't expect a refund for my fucking dumb idiot self not knowing what state I'm getting pizza delivered to. So yeah, probably spent nearly $100 on pizzas going to the wrong fucking state this year.
How many times have you done this?
2, 3 maybe.
Okay.
Because I've also done it where I go to like a hotel but accidentally deliver it to a hotel I stayed at previously.
All right. Nice.
It's stupid. I'm an idiot, and it's a waste of money.
Sounds it. Well, now you know. Well, I mean, you think you'll do it again?
Yep. Yep, for sure. Because the list on my Domino's site has like 15 different addresses from all these different like job sites that I go to, and if you don't go in each time and check off the right boxes. Basically, if I'm ordering Domino's, I'm fucking out of it anyway. I'm either fucking been drinking or I'm just tired and not paying attention. It's the only reason to order Domino's.
Well, there you go. Domino's.
Domino's, a great Italian place. Is that a King of the, not King of the Hill, King of Queens reference?
It is.
Nice. Jerry Stiller, rest in peace.
Oh my God, so fucking good. All right, my number two?
Yeah.
All right, my number two is a little bit more of like a recent thing. But my number two waste of money? Fucking concert tickets. I buy them and I don't go.
Oh yeah, we were... You mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. You're like, you want to go to this concert tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, I guess.
Then you never called me.
So.
No, of course not. I was fucking not going to go. I was certainly not going to make you go.
I would have went. If you called me, I would have went.
I know. But like for me, it's such a fucking hassle. I like only see the same three bands at this point. I'm going next week to see Saves the Day because that's my favorite band. And I think in December, I'm going to go see Streetlight because it's another one of my favorite bands. But like anything
else. Streetlight Manifesto?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. So good. December 8th, Boston.
I'm not super, super up to date on my hipster fucking bands.
It's a ska band, so it's not very hipster.
But ska's wicked hipster. Or is it that a whole different level of hipster that it's called something different?
I don't, if you're a part of some culture I'm unaware of, I don't think it's hipster. I mean, they've been around for a long time. They were never considered hipster any other time. Maybe they are now, because who knows, because things are weird. But yeah, I'll go see them. I'll go see Primus. These are bands that like,
hold on. Because I'm not a music guy, you know, really. I don't listen to fucking music hardly ever. Mm-hmm. Is ska just like kids bop, but with trumpets?
No, not even a little bit.
That's what I think.
That's what you think? You're wrong.
Like a Double Day's probably grinding his teeth.
Oh, absolutely. No, friggin' ska's the best.
Who's the biggest ska band?
I mean, it could be Streetlight, but I think you're thinking of like Real Big Fish.
Okay.
Or like Less Than Jake is a big one.
The Mighty Mighty Boston's, is that ska?
Yeah, they're a ska band, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably
them, actually. Yeah, so I'm right. It's fucking yeah, Kids Bop right. with horns.
It's not Kids Bop with horns.
Stop it's all positive that. Energy, fucking fun music, but with fucking horns.
It's good music. And Streetlight sure is like some of the best lyrics I've ever heard. I want to get a whole fucking bunch of friggin' Streetlight lyrics tattooed on me because he's such a fucking amazing writer.
Yeah, you're gonna end up looking like Hakushi, just fucking text up and down your face.
Dude, that'd be sick. I also get it written in fucking Japanese.
Whatever he was. He was probably Mexican.
He could have been. Thinking about it now. But yeah, I buy tickets and then I just go. The day comes and I go, no, I don't want to get up.
I sympathize with that a lot, but if I already have the sunk cost, I gotta go, no matter how much I don't want to.
No, I think those Gamble tickets were like over $100, and I was like, no.
Oh, damn, dude. And you didn't even try to resell them or nothing?
No, I don't want to deal with that either.
Yeah, I agree with you. They're just like, this is getting a little off topic, but I have sitting in my front hall, I have like 100 VHS tapes.
All right.
And a lot of them are the old Disney ones. And
the clamshells.
Yeah. And this probably should have made my list. I'll just consider it an honorable mention. I paid $50 for them on Facebook Marketplace, like 6 or 7 years ago, because I was tricked into thinking the Black Diamond boxes were worth money. Which is this big like fake thing on the internet. You can see right now, you on eBay and search like Black Diamond Disney movies, and they'll have like The Lion King listed for thousands of dollars. But nobody ever buys it for that. It's only worth $5.
Right.
So I spent $50 on this 100 fucking boxes and boxes of fucking VHS tapes. And now I just want to get rid of them, but I can't bring myself to put an ad on Facebook because I want to get my $50 back. Instead of just throw them in the dumpster.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well just start giving them away.
To who? Nobody wants them.
Enter them in like
Christmas presents. Swaps. That's a good one. Your Yankee swap gift. It's an envelope. And then it says, like, look behind the couch, and there's just three crates of fucking tapes.
Yep.
That's a good idea. A Yankee swap hosted at your own house just to get rid of your junk. I'm for it.
I think it's called, like, an elephant swap or something like that.
White elephant?
Like a name for it of some
That's
kind.
That's just a different word for Yankee swap, I think.
I think elephant swap is you specifically take something from your house and, like, bring it in.
A toilet brush.
Yeah, this is fucking so gross. So goddamn gross. All right. Yeah, that's my number two, concert tickets that I don't go to.
That sucks. I really would have loved to see Diane Antwood.
Diane Wood.
Whatever it was.
D Ant Word.
My number two is this one. It's kind of a double sided thing, but digital loot crates.
Why you spend a lot of money on them?
Not anymore. I did years ago, especially when I was big into Counter-Strike.
Mm-hmm.
They sell cases that are $2.50 a piece, and you get one skin out of it.
Okay.
And of course, 99% of the time, it's worthless and you wasted your $2. It's a crazy waste of money. I spent hundreds, I don't think up to $1,000, but definitely hundreds of dollars on these stupid things. But on the flip side of it, I've looked up these skins recently because Counter-Strike has done a cool thing where they keep coming out with new versions of the game, but the skins transfer all the way up.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, unlike the cash grab, like Electronic Arts, they, you know, start fresh on every game they release every year.
Yeah.
So really they can't hold any value. I was looking at these skins, my Counter-Strike skins a little while ago, and they're worth like almost $1,000, the collection I have.
Oh, wow.
So I actually made out in the deal, just by chance, but what a fucking waste of money. And it's only become more prevalent, with like Fortnite, is getting kids addicted to this like gambling mentality of opening mystery crates. I mean, look at the toy stores now. Half the toy section is just like an egg, and then you get a shitty little figurine out of it, but you don't know what it is. So that's they're selling the hope of getting what you want instead of just putting that one for sale because it's less exciting to just buy it.
Yeah, kids are into it, man.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Hatchimals were a big one for a while. I don't know if those are still big, but it's literally like all you're paying so much for packaging. And then at the end of it, once you tear it all down, it's a stupid little plastic figurine that like the arms aren't even articulating.
Hmm. Yep.
And then you're like, well, I got this one. Can I have another one? It's the rush, the gambling rush of opening a loot crate. I love it. I'll tell you though, the one loot crate that wasn't, you know, a waste of money was the grab bags at Ari's Pizza in Bradford, Massachusetts. Yeah.
25 cents, 50 cents, 75, and a dollar.
Yep. And you would get the real candy cigarettes where you could like blow the powder out and pretend you were really smoking.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. This is, I think it's a really big detriment to kids of this generation to have this like I said, gambling fix just implanted in their head at a young age.
You know how good it feels when you get what you want.
Oh, it's so good. And the biggest thing for the Counter-Strike skins like I had was to get a knife. Like that was the rarest thing. I never got one despite the hundreds of dollars I spent.
Hmm.
But I did have the foresight to buy, like you could buy the cases themselves. It's like a pack of unopened baseball cards. And back when I was into this, I bought like 100 cases of a couple different versions of things for like 2 cents. And now some of them are worth like 75 cents a piece or a dollar.
There you go. That's a good return on investment.
Yeah. If I could go back in time, man, I would have put all my money into Counter-Strike skins. I'd be fucking rich.
Someday.
And the other thing that reminded me of this is not just digital loot crates, but I was going through my father's house recently. We're clearing it out. and he was big into baseball cards and football cards.
Mm-hmm.
He has those Rubbermaid tubs, like tub after tub of fucking baseball cards. And I'm just like, holy fuck. Like, he's got this one case with all the nice stuff. You know, that's beside it. But then the tubs of just like the base set cards that aren't worth a fucking dime. They're just taking up space. And to imagine that each one of these came out of a pack of about 10 cards at a few dollars a piece. Like, damn. My father wasted thousands of dollars and he has hundreds of dollars worth of cards.
The good old days. Man, I miss through my own shit like that.
It is fun. It's that little endorphin hit of, am I going to get the Charizard? You know?
Right.
Ah, that's another regret there. I had a full base set of the original Pokemon cards, not the first edition, but the regular first run,
mm-hmm.
including two Charizards.
True.
And when I turned like 14, I just gave them to my little cousin. I'm like, I'm not playing with Pokemon cards anymore. Yeah, now he's fucking got his. I don't know how much they're worth, but the Charizard's got to be worth a couple hundred bucks, right?
I think so. Again, I have no fucking clue.
Yeah, loot crates. That's my number two. I love it. They're so addictive. I used to love the ones in Rocket League, but then Epic Games bought it and ruined the whole market.
Oh, yeah?
Which was unfortunate.
Mm.
You can't even trade items anymore. What's the point?
You could trade them on Rocket League back in the day?
Yeah, they had full loot crates. They were a dollar a piece. I loved them. And now you can just like buy, like they pushed people to just buy whatever you want for $10 rather than trying to win it. And if you have extras of anything, you can't trade with friends anymore. Just, yeah, completely ruined the economy of Rocket League. Bastards.
For real. That sucks.
So, yeah. Loot crates.
All right. Number one.
Basically gambling.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. Number ones?
Number one.
All right. I feel like this is like an obvious one. I bet a bunch of people shared in this one, but number one waste of money for me was buying a treadmill.
As I have one in my basement that has been used for maybe 10 miles.
It's 10 more miles than mine was.
And I got a good deal on mine. I bought a nice one. I did a lot of research, of course. And then they sent me like the next tier up version of it.
Wow.
Which I thought was awesome. So now that can rot in my basement.
Yeah, mine's now in the basement. It was in my bedroom for the longest time. Because I was like, oh, I'm never going to move this thing. And I finally was like, I have to move it. So it's sitting in my basement. Maybe it'll get used. Nope, I bet it won't. Even now, I'm like in straight denial. Because my wife was like, well, let's get rid of it. I was like, no, it's really fucking, like, we spent a lot of money on like a really nice
thing. Right.
And now she's like, well, you know, what do you want to do? You want to sell it? I was like, no, I don't know. I was like, I'd like Nobody's to keep it in it. The off chance that I use it someday. But, I mean, it's already paid for. It's not like I'm paying on it. So it's just like,
right.
Whatever, just sits there. And like maybe, if anything, like the thing I want to use it the most for is like walking at an incline. Like that's all I really want it for. But man, it's so sad because it became the exact thing every treadmill becomes, which is just a place where you hang clothes on.
Yep. A stereotype of the life cycle of a treadmill.
Oh my God. I would love to see some data on like how many people bought and like actively regularly use their treadmills.
Well, take it a step further. Do Pelotons.
I have one of those too.
You have. Everybody needed a Peloton in 2020.
I do use a Peloton from time to time. I would use it more if I didn't have the unpredictable chaos of children, but I do like the Peloton. It doesn't take up as much of a footprint. It is pretty cool. So wow. I will say that.
Therefore, it can't hold as many clothes.
That's right. It's a, you know what? It's a way worse clothing rack than a treadmill.
That's a very good one. And I feel like it communicates well to a lot of people.
100%.
The killer 100%. For me was, you know, we don't pay for it anymore because we didn't use it, but had a membership to a nice gym, Cedardale in Bradford. And I went there mostly because they have a pool. Well, they have many pools. And to me, that's what I want. I like to swim if I'm trying to, you know, get a little workout, get some stretch out. And then I would be there with my wife and then I would go meet her like upstairs and she's on a treadmill. I'm like, why are we paying this all this money for you to come do what you could fucking do in the basement at our goddamn house? I mean, the pool part, you know, I'm not buying a pool, but God damn it. Go use one of the other things. Don't use the treadmill. It's like rubbing it in that it was a fucking financial mistake. But as soon as you get rid of it, you're like, you know, I should probably get a treadmill. This time I'm going to use it.
Yeah. You know, it's nice to think that, but
I set mine up good too. I hung a TV in front of it and hooked it up to the cable. So, you know, instead of just vegetating on the couch, you could just take a stroll. Take a stroll and watch reruns of The Office.
Hell yeah.
That didn't work.
No. No. All right, but yeah, it's my number one.
I think it's just easier to get a tapeworm. Try to lose weight that way.
I wish.
Anyway. So my number one, and this one's the most befitting of the topic of wasting money, is because I got scammed by some jerks when I was young. I was coming out of my local bank branch, and two guys in a white van approached me.
And so far, so talked good. About,
they had some high-end speakers that they over-ordered, and now they just got to get rid of them, and they can give me a great deal on them. And they got me hook, line, and sinker.
Wow. You're giving me shit? You're giving me shit about a timeshare?
Hey, I was probably, I think I was 16 or 17 years old. You know, I barely had a couple $100 in the bank. And these guys just fucking preyed on me. And they're like, dude, look at this. And they're showing me, they had like a manual. The brand of the speakers was called Theater Research, which I don't know if you still can. They had a website and everything that like sold them. Like they had a storefront that sold them for like $3,000 to make you believe that they were actually worth something.
That's crazy.
So I think I was on like my BlackBerry Storm, you know, one of the first smartphones, and I looked it up and I'm like, oh man, what a deal. Like, these guys are fucking stupid. So they started haggling with me. They're like, yeah, we got these speakers, man. Look, they gave me the manual that says they're worth like a couple $1,000. And I already had like somewhat of a home theater system put together. So they caught me just at the right moment. And I looked it up on my phone. I saw the website. I'm like, man, even if I don't want these, I could resell them and make money.
God, you fucking
I go
suck.
In the bank. They haggle with me. Start at like $800 they wanted. And I'm like, what? No, like that's more money than I've ever made in my life. And eventually fucking haggled them down to $250 for these two, like they were sizable, like 4-foot tower speakers, two of them with 12-inch subs on the bottom. And I will say they worked and they made noise.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't great noise. But it definitely produced volume. So it wasn't a complete scam. It wasn't like they were duds. But over like once I got them home and I was all happy, I did some more research and then I found forums of being like the white truck scammers. These guys, I don't know if this goes around today still. But guys would just rent white vans and then sell bullshit out of the back of them to people in like bank parking lots and stuff when they thought they found a suitable victim, which I turned out to be. And I don't know. I was happy with them. They were speakers. They worked in my little fucking mom's basement dungeon setup that I had until I blew up the receiver, which was probably the fault of the shitty speakers.
And I, a couple of weeks ago, they were at my dad's house and I was cleaning them out. I put them at the curb. Just like, God damn it. Reminded of my failure.
But yeah, always a failure.
Not as bad as a timeshare fucking sales pitch. What?
Nah, I don't know. I stuffed
these two giant boxes into the back of my Mustang. I couldn't even close the trunk.
Yeah, I got, you know, I was in a classy establishment, you know, I watched a whole video presentation. I did a tour. You just got...
Did Mickey himself bring out the contracts?
No, because it wasn't DVC.
Oh, you said it was within their footprint, so I thought...
Yeah, property-wise.
I think I know the Wyndham you're talking about. I stayed at the Hilton right nearby.
Yeah, last year.
This year. Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's nice. Jesus Christ.
But yeah, I called
the cops on you.
True scam. I that fucking sucked. And it wasn't even that much money. Like, and the quality of them, they were probably worth like $120. So I didn't really get hit that hard, but I just felt like such a buffoon.
Okay. Well, you know, live and learn. What can you do?
Yep. I haven't bought speakers off a truck since.
No. There you go.
Let that be a lesson to everybody out there.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing falls off the back of a truck anymore.
No. Oh, my God, no. Okay. It looks like that's our show. Do we have a fun butt list?
Probably. Yes. Oh. Oh. Oh, I just have it shrunken up. Yeah. Let me run through these. We got Tanith, Kevin Weaver, number 5. That time I was on a Harry Potter podcast via Kickstarter that never went to book 7 because J.K. Rowling dared to say men can't be women. One of the Geekly Inc. hosts died in 2022, so it's never coming back. Well.
Whoa. One of the Geekly Inc. hosts died?
I don't know much about
what?
That universe, but.
Hold on. All right, you keep going.
That was a thick one for to start off the list here.
Oh, my God.
On the podcast via Kickstarter. Anyway, number 4, the time I knowingly bought all the books of a Stargate RPG that has been defunct since the 90s. Number 3, the time I bought custom Funko Pops of Stargate SG-1 characters.
Oh, God, what a nerd.
That's definitely a waste of money. My large DVD collection. Waste of money, but still cool. And number 1, all the money I've spent on DoorDash in the past. I could have saved so much money even if I just went to pick it up instead of having it delivered. I agree with that one wholeheartedly. Next up, we have K-Funk, number 5. Donated to a political campaign when I first turned 18. Never again. Number 4, collectibles worth way more in sentiment and nostalgia than the ridiculous overprice I paid for them. Number 3, trying to find an item online for a better deal and getting China'd / scammed whenever it arrives. Number 2, in-game purchases in video games. I cannot resist them. I'm a sucker for customization. And number 1, my kids. Ouch. Sorry, KJ. I remember what it was like to want something and be denied it as a young kid. And now I have a huge soft spot about that. My kids seem to know this and basically get everything they ask for from me. It's craziness and I'm running out of funds. Well, if you're going to waste your money, at least do it on your kids. Next up, we have Daniel Sepultura. Number 5, anytime I spend money for cosmetics in a video game, I feel so much guilt. Number 4, whenever my fake brother, Yosue, bought a cheese pizza, when me and some other friends had scrounged up some money to buy a pizza and we had told him to get a pepperoni pizza. What the fuck? I didn't misread that. That's just nonsense. Number 3, the sneaker collection I have, and I have about a good amount of sneakers, but can't push myself to sell them. Number two, when I had bought a custom controller from a place called Controller Chaos, I ordered it in June, and it still isn't here. It cost me $250, and it was an Xbox controller with an Evo 2023 skin. $250 for an Xbox controller these days? Holy shit. And number one, when I had bought things to bake some pastries for a girl, and I actually did make an apple pie for her and her family, only for her and her older sister to get angry with me when I decided to end things a few months later. Man, I still miss those $40. What the fuck, Sepultura? Next up, we have Ryan Brown. Number five, eating my way through Michelin-starred restaurants in Paris and London. Yeah, that's not a waste of money. Number four, your mom last Wednesday night. Number three, the remote control car I built and promptly destroyed. Number two, leasing a car. And number one, my first time in a strip club. Very apt. Next up, we have Dad. Number five, that time in Miami, I went to the casino and bet a grand on one hand of blackjack, but won. I wouldn't call that a waste of money. Number four, every time I buy takeout. Number three, every time I throw out meat or produce. That kills me. Number two, that time I spent $8,000 for a summer New England's premier campground that I will forever cherish. Come on, Matt, come and hang, you pussy. It wasn't a waste, but the weekends and weeks I couldn't go certainly felt like a waste. I know that he's been desperately trying to get Megan to get a spot up there at Sebago Lake next year.
I know. My shit the bed at the very end, so all I'm right. Just waiting for the episode to be over.
Sure. All right. Is number one for Dad. That time I wasted $40 on a Keno ticket and won $45,000 and then proceeded to buy a motorhome. The motorhome, good investment. Next up, we have Gray. Number five, anytime I go out to eat, I feel like I'm wasting money. Number four, buying video games I have every intention of playing that I never end up playing. Yep. Number three, the time my girlfriend and I moved in together and I paid 100% of the rent. Number two, the time I bought a laptop from Best Buy, it cost $1,000 and couldn't do anything I needed it to. That's tough. And number one, the time I bought a car off my parents, the thing was a piece of junk. But in their defense, they were trying to help me out. Next up, we have Eric Torreson. Number five, that time I was switching jobs to a lower paying job, but I wanted to finish my tattoo work, so I dipped into my savings. Number four, twice now I've bought book sets for RPGs knowing I'll never run them. Number three, I bought a souped up 351 Cleveland, never finished the project car and sold it all for a loss. Number two, all the boxes of Warhammer and a tote in my basement that will never see paint. Number one, Haslabs G.I. Joe classified release of the Cobra, Hiss, Dragonfly, and Rattler. And finally, we have Brian Davis. Number five, Thor, Love and Thunder. Number four, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. Number three, Lion King live action. Number two, any Venom movies. And number one, paying people to do stuff I could have done myself. Excellent lists, everybody. some of these were a little off the wall, but that's great. And that's our show. And here's Staticky Matt to close it out.
Sorry, everybody. Smell you later.